Did you know that God has told us to care for one another? Now, I don't know what you think caring means. We care when we show concern for anyone's needs. We care when we are burdened to pray for someone and we pray for them. We care when we deliver something to their house to encourage them, whatever it may be. It may be a meal, it may be a dessert, it may be something like that. Alice's cinnamon buns or pies. We show caring when we call people up and ask them how they're doing. We show caring when we expend time and money to fix something for somebody else. There's a lot of ways that we can show caring. Now I want to look this morning at a variety of passages all over the place. But I'm going to start with 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 10. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Now, the word elect here means God's chosen ones. That's you. Anyone who is born again has been chosen by God or elected by God according to the scriptures, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with glory or eternal glory. Do we endure all things for the sake of each other? That's what caring really is. Enduring all things for the benefit of other people. Can be simple. Shoveling the snow off the sidewalk or the driveway. Now, most of you have somebody that you do it for. Not only you do it for yourself, you're doing it for your mate or your kids or your family. Or maybe your neighbors. My neighbor came over yesterday to thank me for cleaning out their driveway. I didn't. Another neighbor did. Sometimes when Tom comes up and tries to clean out my driveway, and it's always a problem because my driveway comes down a slope right into the garage, and usually there's a vehicle sitting there, either hers or mine. But Tom does the best that he can to kind of back blade and then shove it off to the side. And usually when he leaves, he'll hit the neighbor's driveway, just the top of it, because she's always complaining. That's the neighbor on the other side. Always complaining that the highway department of the town deliberately plows snow into her driveway. Well, we all know better than that. They're throwing snow up off the side of the road all the way up the hill. They're getting everybody's driveway, including mine. But somehow she feels that they are picking on her. But Brother Tom, he just swings in and cleans out the top of her driveway and keeps going. He's a real blessing. He retired and God gave him snow plowing for something to keep him busy. And we appreciate all the work he does around here with that snow blade of his. Care. Endure all things for the sake of the elect. Now, what about the unsaved? Are we to show kindness to them? Absolutely. Are we to help them? Certainly. Who knows? You might bring them to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because you did something nice for them. We've lived there 27 years, and now the neighbor across the road brings down goodies every once in a while. A week later, goodies go back to their house, if you know what I mean. We show kindness. We show caring. Well, I have some notes for you to look at. First of all, there's command to care. And before I put them up on the screen, I want you to turn with me to Zechariah. You know, it's good to go to the Old Testament once in a while. You all know Zechariah is a very important prophetic book. And it's talking about our times and the times just ahead. But Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of armies," literally, "Jehovah of armies, execute true justice." Do we have crooked justice in our country? Yes, and we've had some demonstration of that in the last 2 weeks. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Now, the word mercy there means loving kindness, says. Loving kindness. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien. Oh boy, there's that word. Now I know sometimes on TV when they have movies, they use the word alien to describe somebody from outer space, but normally we use the word alien to describe somebody from out of the country. Somebody that comes into our country from another country, you may call them an immigrant, but they are also legally and literally aliens. And if you listened this morning to Brother David Jeremiah, and then right after him, he's talking about love. Good topic in February, isn't it? But right after him is Michael Youssef. He was raised in a Muslim country. Thankfully, he was raised in a Christian home. But he was raised in a Muslim country. And he is talking, his message this morning and the next few weeks, he is talking about our relationship to those coming into this country and to those who have come into this country that we may not approve of. And so he says we are not to oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor. How would you oppress the poor? Maybe by ignoring them. Maybe by putting them down in your mind. Maybe by writing them off. Maybe by calling them either verbally or mentally trash. And not seeing the need and not caring and not showing to them love and kindness. And as you all know, we have a couple people that come to our church that put a little stress on some of you. She needs your love and care. She does not do well caring for herself. We all know that. And so many of us have to play the part of a father and a mother to her. And if she quit coming to our church, God would send somebody else just like her. Because I believe in every church there are some people that are very needy, mentally and physically and financially, that give us an opportunity to show God's love and kindness. Over to John, John 13, Gospel of John. Between Luke and Acts. John chapter 13. And I know that you know these verses almost by heart. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, and that you love also one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Same author, different time. 1 John was written much later in John's life. Revelation was written at the end of John's life. But 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And then back to 1 Corinthians 12 that we read this morning in response of scripture reading. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25 to 27. That there should be no schism. Now the word schism means division. Church splits. I don't like what you did or said, so I'm going to take my marbles and go home. Now, some people have very tender feelings. Some people have very tough and unfeeling feelings. And they don't understand that what they said or did offended so-and-so. On the other hand, the person that got offended, you want to say, buck it up, buddy. That's life. But they don't respond to that, do they? And so you and I are to show love and kindness and make sure that there are no divisions in the body. But that the members should have the same care, there's our word, care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you? Can you rejoice when God seems to bless someone and not you? Do you know that to do that is a very important thing and God has a purpose? Verse 26 again. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are a body of Christ and members individual. We're the body. We are the body. God has called us to be one in him. So those are commands to care. Now let's look at examples of caring in Scripture. The first one that I would turn you to is Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 19 to 23. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state or your condition. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul. Verse 23, therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Paul had a care. He had a concern. Don't use the word worry. Don't use the word anxious, because Paul says in another part of the same letter, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're not to be anxious. That's 4:6. Then look at Titus. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. Maybe you didn't know that Titus is mentioned in Corinthians. I don't recall that I knew that till I was doing this study. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. So he says, not only do you have your pastor, but now you have Titus caring for you. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. So Paul came to visit the church in Corinth. Titus came to visit the church in Corinth. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And it doesn't tell us who that brother is. But somebody went with Titus. And they went to check up on the Corinthian church to see how it was doing, to see if it had dealt with that situation back in 1 Corinthians 5 with the immoral leader in the church, who Paul said, kick the guy out and have nothing to do with him. If perhaps the Lord will bring him to repentance. And then you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that the man did repent, the man did straighten up, and Paul says, take him back into fellowship. Don't destroy the guy now that he's repented. Accept him back. Well, one more. Proverbs 31:20. Now, when I say Proverbs 31, what should you think of? You should think of the virtuous wife, right? The virtuous woman, the wise woman, whatever title your Bible has for her. But verse 10 starts out, who can find a virtuous wife? For her value is far above rubies. And I will say that describes my wife. And I hope many of you men will be able to say that describes your wife. That she is worth a whole lot more than jewelry. That she is a special, special lady. But I want you to notice down at verse 20, she extends her hands to the, what does it say, everybody? The poor. The poor. And if you look through Proverbs, there are several admonitions for us to care for the poor, to love the poor, to show good to the poor. And obviously, God is concerned about that. Now, how do we care for the poor? How do you care? Well, let's look at how to care. First of all, we're to care for the repentant. And 2 Corinthians, if you can flip back there because you were just there a few minutes ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And verses 8 to 13, For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Obviously referring back to 1 Corinthians. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you may suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner with diligence, it produced in you what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. So we have to care for those that are repenting of their sin. Now we may be the cause of their repenting and their sorrow, but the good thing is they are repenting and they're showing sorrow, and we then are to step in and to show kindness and care and comfort to that person. It involves forgiving. And so I'll throw that word up there too. It involves forgiving over in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I like to preach this about once a week to certain people. Someday I hope it finally sinks in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how in the world would you grieve him? By acting or thinking or behaving or talking in a sinful manner. By using language that is of the world. By using a language that is mean-spirited. By using language on people that you have no right to say those mean things to them. Then look at verse 31. Let all bitterness. What does bitterness accomplish? It destroys your health. It ruins your testimony. It makes you a miserable person to live with. And we all have to feel sorry for your mate, because there are people that I literally have asked for funerals for. God hasn't given too many of my prayers wings, but once in a while, when I see men that treat their wives despicably, I go to that chapter in the Old Testament of Nabal. Anybody remember Nabal? David came and asked for food for his little army of 600. Now, I realize that's kind of a bold request. And Nabal said, "No way, Jose." David said, "But I've been guarding your flocks and your sheep and protecting your servants. The least you can do is help me out right now. My men are starving." Nabal said, "No way." And so David began to plot the death of Nabal. And Nabal's wife understood what David was about to do to her husband. And she came out with gifts of food and said, "Don't do it." And God honored that by killing Nabal himself. The Bible says that he had a terrible heart attack and died. And then God says, "Okay, Abigail, you're such a sweet lady. You can go marry David." And she became one of David's many wives. Now, David didn't do it to get Abigail. He was just doing it because he was angry with this Nabal, who was a cur. And that's a dog, by the way. The Bible refers to him as a cur. He was a mean, miserable cuss of a guy. And God knew it, and God took his life without David shedding any blood and without David showing a bad example. Now back to this text. Let all bitterness, wrath, that's the explosion, anger, that's what's boiling down underneath all the time, clamor, I don't know how to define clamor very well, but loud quarreling, my Bible says. You ever hear husbands and wives screaming and yelling at each other? Woo, I have. Sad thing is, they're members of this church. They don't live that way all the time, but every once in a while, woo. You do not want to be around them at that moment. Evil speaking. That comes out in that shouting, quarreling. Evil speaking should be put away from you along with all malice. Malice is wishing evil on somebody else. Then God says in verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And so we are to care for the repentant. We are to show them kindness. We too are to encourage them in a new walk with Jesus Christ. I have many more, but we're only going to do one more. We're to care for the sorrowing. What causes people to sorrow? Loss of a loved one. A son or a daughter gone astray. Loss of your favorite pet. You say, is that legitimate? You ask pet owners. Come on now. Us that have pets have all lost pets. We have lost friends. We have lost church members. We have lost jobs. We have lost our health. All these things cause us to sorrow, right? To have broken hearts. What does the Word of God say? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. Boy, 2 Corinthians is getting used a bit, isn't it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I use that in one way or another in most, if not all, of my funerals or in my graveside services. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Now, if you don't know how Paul suffered, there's a list over in chapter 4 and chapter 11. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. And then one more scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. Romans 12, verse 15 and 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Do not set your affection on high things, or things which are above in the old King James, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. God has called us to care for the sorrowing. He has called us to care for the repentant. My other points, and we don't have time for them, he has called us to care for the burdened. There are people with great burdens. Galatians 6:2. Care for the widow and the orphan. I could put them up on the screen, couldn't I? Care of the burdened. Care of the widow and the orphan. Care of the lonely. Does our church wrap its arms around the lonely? In many cases, yes. But maybe you know somebody that's lonely and you haven't done that. And then Peter says, be loving, be pitiful, be courteous. By looking out for some lonely person, you can help to make it a community of care in a world that doesn't. And then there's a poem. Measure thy life by loss, not by gain. not by the wine drunk, but by the wine poured out or poured forth. For love's strength standeth in love's sacrifice. And he who suffers most has most to give. And my last thought that I was going to meditate on with you is nothing costs so much as caring, except not caring. Let us bow in prayer. Eternal God, great merciful Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity to remind ourselves that we are to love and we are to care. We're to love our enemies as ourselves. Wow, God, that's hard. And we're to love others. And we're to love our brothers and sisters in the faith and our brothers and sisters in the family, as we learn in 1 John. And now, our Father, I pray that as we go forth this day, that you take us safely to our homes, that you get us comfortable this afternoon, and that we will think and share some of these thoughts in our minds. We ask, God, that you would bless the recording and the propagation of these studies in your holy word. And we thank you for all of your servants here. In Jesus' name, amen.